that we can be here. We thank you for all of the work that's been done here in the last year. And we just lift up this time to you and pray for you to guide and direct in Yeshua's awesome name. And for those of you who are worried about the offering, it will actually be at the end. And the reason is, in that study that I did, one of the things that they did when they dedicated sanctuaries in the past was they took an offering. So at the end of our dedication, they did it after it was dedicated. We're going to take up our offering for today. So just be patient. I know it's great that you are so eager to give your money, but be patient. So I have a little humorous story here, but I thought I might need to preface it with a little more understanding of the Jewish community. You know, in the Orthodox Jewish community, the very Orthodox, the men tend to just study the Talmud, and they study all the time. And the women run the homes. And in Israel, this is a big issue because actually most of them are on government assistance. And that's how they get along, but they just study the Talmud all the time. So here's a story. A nice Jewish girl brought home her fiancé to meet her parents. After dinner, her mother told her father to find out about the young man. So he invited the fiancé to his study for a little bit of fellowship time. "So what are your plans?" the father asked the fiancé. "I am a Torah scholar," he replied. "A Torah scholar," the father said. "Admirable. But what will you do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in as she's accustomed to?" "I will study," the young man replies, "and God will provide for us." "And how will you buy her a beautiful engagement ring such as she deserved?" asked the father. "I will concentrate on my studies," the young man replied. "God will provide for us." "And children?" asked the father. "How will you support the children?" "Don't worry, sir. God will provide," replied the fiancé. The conversation proceeded like this, and each time the father asked a question, the fiancé insisted that God will provide. Later, the mother asked, "So, new, how did it go?" The father answered, "He has no job and no plans, but the good news is he thinks I'm God." So, to understand how to rededicate the sanctuary, this week I studied the four dedications that were done in the Bible. And just to refresh your memory, the tabernacle in the desert was dedicated, the one that Moses made. And then the first temple in Jerusalem that was built by Solomon was dedicated. And then after that was destroyed and Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilt or built another temple, that was dedicated. And then the Maccabees actually rededicated that temple, Ezra and Nehemiah's temple. They rededicated it. And then that temple was renovated by Herod, and we don't have any record of what was done to dedicate that temple. So we have those to go on, and so I gleaned from these descriptions what was done at those times. And for those of you who are not familiar with the rest of the story of Hanukkah, I believe we handed out a flyer last week, or did we get it handed out this week? A couple of weeks ago. Okay. Or go online, you can learn the full story. But the part of the Hanukkah story that we're focusing on today is the fact that the Maccabees fought against the Syrian Greek oppressive government that had destroyed the Jewish culture and or was attempting to destroy the Jewish culture and was forbidding the worship of God and was defiling the temple. And they finally won, and then they cleansed the temple, and then they rededicated it. So as I studied today, I learned that there were three steps required for the Maccabees to enable them to rededicate the temple from when the Syrian Greeks had it. And that was they had to fight, they had to clean, and then they had to dedicate. So first, they had to win a war. They had to drive Antiochus Epiphanes and that army out of the temple grounds and out of Jerusalem. And it was interesting that in the book of Maccabees, it also says that they had to protect the area of the temple and the whole city from being attacked again. So they didn't just drive them out, but they actually set up garrisons and fortresses to protect the city. Secondly, they had to clean out the defiled temple. And we have a scripture here from 1 Maccabees. It's not a scripture, but it's a verse from 1 Maccabees. It says, "When they saw the sanctuary desolate, and the altar profaned, and the gates burned up, and shrubs growing in the courts as in a forest or in one of the mountains, yes, and the priest's chambers pulled down." So what did they have to do to clean the temple? Well, they obviously, the actual building, that was this, the sanctuary was probably full of trash. And they had to get that out. They had to pull up the weeds that were in the courtyard. And then we learned last week that there was a statue of Zeus that had been placed on top of the altar of burnt offering. So they had to tear that statue down from the altar. And we also learned that that altar, which was made of stones, had been defiled with the blood of pigs. And so they decided that the altar was so defiled that it could not be cleansed. And as I was thinking about this, probably the pigs, they took pig's blood and made a broth with it, and they poured it on the altar. So probably that broth went down between the stones, because the stones were not like mortar, they were just stones. And that blood went down, and the broth went down amongst the stones, and they realized after they started trying to clean, there was no way they could clean off all of those stones. So they took it down, stone from stone, and they rebuilt it with new stones. And then the doors, the gates had been destroyed, and of course that's protection. So they rehung the doors, they rebuilt the doors, and they hung them in the gateways. And this was interesting, that the rooms for the Kohanim, for the priests, had been destroyed. And if you don't understand what that's about, remember the Kohanim lived all over Israel. And they came, when their appointed week was, they came to serve in Jerusalem at the temple. So they needed some place to stay. So that was where they stayed while they were serving in the temple. And all of those rooms had been destroyed, and they had to rebuild them. So that was the second thing, the cleaning out. And then the third thing, they had to follow the procedure for the temple's dedication. And I believe they went back and looked at the scriptures to understand what was done when the temple was initially dedicated. So first, they had to consecrate the tabernacle itself and the temple itself, its furnishings, its utensils, and the altar of burnt offering. In Leviticus 8, we find out how they did it. This is how Moses did the tabernacle in the desert. Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it, and so consecrated them. He sprinkled the oil on the altar 7 times and anointed the altar and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, to consecrate them. And it's very important that we all understand that word, consecrate, that's here. It's actually the Hebrew word kadesh or kadosh. And it means to make holy, because we use it often that way. But really, to make holy means to set it apart for God's purposes. Set apart for God. Sanctified is another word that we use for that. Set apart for God's purposes. And then, a little bit later in Leviticus 8, they sacrificed a bull for a sin offering. And verse 15 says, Moses then slaughtered it and took the blood and dabbed it onto the horns of the altar with his finger, and so purified the altar. And then he poured out the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. So this sprinkled blood on the altar, again, consecrated it, set it apart for the use of the Lord. So that was the first thing they had to do. All of the physical things had to be anointed with oil and then sprinkled with blood. Second, they had to consecrate the priests, the Kohanim. And in Exodus chapter 40, it says this, bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water for the holy garment. Put the holy garments on Aaron, anoint him and consecrate him so that he may minister to me as a Kohen or as a priest. And in a couple of verses later, it also says, anoint them with oil. So they consecrated the Kohanim by washing and by the anointing of oil. And then in Exodus 29, in verse 20, it says, slaughter the ram, take its blood, and dab it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, on the tip of the right ears of his sons, on the thumb of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet, and then pour the blood on the altar all around. So again, we see the priests were consecrated with washing with water, anointing with oil, and the blood. And again, just so you realize what that's all about, the ear to hear from the Lord, the hands to do the Lord's will, to do what he says to do, and the feet to go where the Lord says to go. So that was the sprinkling of the blood. And also it took 8 days to consecrate the priests. Now, I want to give a little bit into the what we're going to do here today, now that we're understanding this. In the New Covenant, I hope you all understand that all who are disciples of Yeshua are Kohanim Mamlechat. That means We are priests of the kingdom. We are priests of his kingdom. It calls us a royal priesthood in another translation. So you guys, all of us, including me, we are the Kohanim. Okay? And what I saw as I was studying for this is just some amazing timing. I don't know if any of you remember this because it was about 10 months ago. But on February 15th, we were going through the scriptures and we were at that place in the scriptures where I just read about the anointing of the ears and the thumbs and the big toes. And we actually did a ceremony in here where we ordained, we anointed all of us as royal priesthood. Anybody remember? We did that? You should, because that should have been a significant moment in your life in the spirit. Everybody was anointed to be a Kohanim at that time. And the third thing that had to happen in order to dedicate the temple when the Maccabees rededicated was they had to light the menorah. And there's a lot of misunderstanding, I believe, about why they needed to light the menorah. Was it because they needed light inside so they could see what they were doing, so they could cleanse? No, that really wasn't it. Here's how I understand of what this whole thing of the oil was about, because, you know, most of you understand that the tradition of Hanukkah is the menorah and the oil to make lakis in. It's all about oil. It's all about this light. And it's hard to find that in the scriptures. So I'm gonna share with you how I understand where that came from. In Leviticus chapter 24, in verse 2, it says this: "Order B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, to bring to you pure olive oil, beaten for the light, to keep a lamp burning continually. Outside the curtain of the testimony, in the tent of meeting, Aaron is to keep it in order from evening to morning before Adonai continually. It is to be a statute forever throughout your generations." So the lampstand needed to be lit continually. I believe that scholars have studied this and said, well, they think that they just they turned it down in the daytime, like they left only one lamp lit in the daytime. They burned, you know, all of them at night, like it says here, but then in the daytime, because it had to be lit continually, and they had to obey that instruction. And the thing here is that the lampstand and the oil were needed not so much to cleanse the temple, but to obey the command that there would be always the lampstand lit. The temple would not be considered restored and functioning without a continually lit lampstand or menorah. Now, the lampstand was the seven-branch menorah, two less branches than this one right here, or a ner tamid, as it's called, the eternal light. And without every Jewish place of worship has a ner tamid. And people usually use electricity today rather than oil, so that they don't have to keep filling it back up. And usually it's a stained glass structure or a box of some kind with a light bulb in it. Now, ours, up to this point in time, and maybe for a few more weeks, is what you see out in the hallway when you walk in. It's the seven-branched menorah, and it's got little electric lights on there, and they're twinkling, and that's lit all the time. We never unplug that. But I want to show you, for the first time for most of you, this will be our new Ner Tamid. And it was created by Mary Quinn, and Diana Pell did the design together. And Mary is an artist in stained glass, so she executed it. And there's the light bulb is in there now, but there's a light bulb that goes inside, and this will hang about this high when we get the cabinet here, as we call the ark for the Torah to be, and this will hang just above it. Okay, so I asked Jim to bring it here today because we're going to anoint things with oil later, and we want to make sure we anoint this with oil because this is one of the things that we are going to use. So I'll put that down, and we'll get it in a few minutes. Okay, so why did there have to be enough oil for 8 days? Again, this is traditionally that's how long it took to consecrate the oil. But, you know, in the scriptures, it doesn't actually say anything about consecrating the oil. Understand that according to the Talmud, they found one jar of oil that was the special oil that had been consecrated, even though the scriptures don't say anything about that. And that would have lasted for 1 day. And they used that to light the menorah And it lasted for 8 days. And that's the big miracle of Hanukkah. So as I was studying this, I was trying to figure out, well, you know, why does it say it needed to be the special consecrated oil? We just read it needed to be pure oil. And I think the religious leaders, the Kohanim at that time, interpreted that word, pure, to mean it had to be more than just physically clean or unused. It had to be ceremonially purified like everything else did. And so why did it take 8 days to purify the oil? Again, there's no actual commandments, purify the oil for 8 days, but we can infer it from everything else had to be purified for 8 days. So in Ezekiel 43, I've got a scripture, 7 days here. They will make atonement for the altar and cleanse it for 7 days. So I believe that the priests took that and took that understanding that the oil needed to be purified for 7 days. So to rededicate the temple, the Maccabees anointed the temple and its furnishings, its utensils, and the altar and the priests with oil, and they had to have the lights lit when they did that, and that was the great miracle. And they sprinkled blood on things, and they sprinkled blood on people that had been anointed. So that was the kind of the crux of how the temple was dedicated. But then as I was reading and looking through this, I found there were two other interesting things that were done. One is that Solomon, when the temple that he built was dedicated, he prayed. And some of the prayers that you are very familiar with were prayed by him at the dedication of the temple. So I just want to read to you 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 21. And this is Solomon praying at the dedication of the temple he built. Hear the supplications of your servant and your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place. Hear from your dwelling place, from heaven, and when you hear, forgive. So this prayer of Solomon about praying toward the temple, many of you are aware of the Jewish custom of facing Jerusalem. Jewish people face Jerusalem when they pray. And by the way, Jerusalem is that way. It's in the east, a little bit to the south, about like that. So that's where that came from, because when Solomon dedicated the temple, he said, when you pray toward the temple, God, hear us. So that's another thing we're going to do. We're going to pray. And then the other thing I found that was very interesting in number 7, in verse 1, when Moses finished setting up the tabernacle, he anointed and consecrated it and all its implements, the altar and all its utensils, and he anointed and consecrated them. Then the princes of Israel, the heads of their ancestral homes, they were the tribal princes in charge over those who were numbered, gave offerings. So after the dedication, they all gave an offering. So what happened when these places were dedicated, when this tabernacle in the desert and when Solomon's temple was completed? What happened? I just want to give you a couple of things to kind of get you your faith to increase about what we're doing today. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. This is after the dedication. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Adonai the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was unable to enter into the tent of meeting because the cloud resided there, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So when we dedicate temples, the cloud of the Lord is there, and it fills it. And then also in Solomon, the temple that Solomon built in 2 Chronicles 5, then it came to pass that when the trumpeters and singers joined as one to extol and praise Adonai, and when the sound of the trumpets, cymbals, and musical instruments, and the praise of Adonai, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that's what they were singing. We sing that all the time. Hodu Adonai ki tov, that's that song. And when it grew louder, the temple, the house of Adonai, was filled with a cloud. And the Kohanim, the priests, could not stand to minister because the cloud, for the glory of Adonai, filled the house of God. So we see two times that the glory of the Lord was so strong that people couldn't even get in. And then also when Ezra and Nehemiah built the temple, in Ezra chapter 6, it says this, then the sons of Israel, the Kohanim, the Levites, and the rest of the exiles celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. So this was a specially joyful time when they dedicated that temple that they had rebuilt. This was after the Babylonian exile, when they came back and they dedicated. So that was a great study that I just really enjoyed, just going back and looking at all of the ways in which all the things that were done to dedicate the temple. So out of all that, how are we to rededicate this sanctuary? And you probably, some of you might have seen already, there's lots of parallels there. So we're gonna talk a little bit about some of these parables, and then we're going to do it. Okay? So first, the Maccabees had to fight a war against Antiochus and his army. And I believe that we have had to fight a war, and not with people, but with spirits, with unclean spirits that have been assigned against us, against the Messianic movement, against the body of Messiah, assigned to destroy us. And one of the reasons that I know this is that our prayer team was not aware of a lot of the things that were happening over the last few months, but long before they became aware, they were doing spiritual warfare, and they were saying, oh, there's this spirit we got to stand against. We got to stand against this spirit. And I believe that's why we've had a victory here. So I want to thank the prayer team once again. So we had to fight a war, but also, yes, you can applaud, yes. Also, we have to establish a perimeter. That means that once you drive the enemy out, you can't just leave the gates open and no watchmen and just expect that he's going to stay away. So we have to be vigilant, and we have to continue to do that spiritual warfare. Next, we must clean out the temple. Now, to dedicate this sanctuary, to cleanse it for God's presence to be here, we had to do a lot of physical cleaning, just like the Maccabees had to do, right? We had to rebuild the walls and clean the construction dust up. We had to clean up from painting. We rebuilt doors and hung doors, especially out there in the lobby. We rebuilt rooms. Actually, this is kind of interesting. You know, we rebuilt rooms for the staff to work on the third floor. Isn't that interesting? Just like they had to rebuild the priest's chambers. But those of you who weren't here before, all of our offices were there where the lobby is and where the elevator area is. So in order to expand, we moved those up to the third floor, rebuilt the rooms. So we had to do that. But in addition to this, the Holy Spirit showed me that because there's a difference in our time and that we're in the new covenant right now, that we had to deal with garbage and weeds and idols, not in the natural, but in the spirit. Okay? So I want to just read for you something that was spoken by Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was quoting, actually, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. And he said this, "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things?" So God does not dwell in buildings of wood and stone, the prophet is saying. So where does God dwell? Yes, you got it. In the hearts, in the followers of Yeshua. And addressing the followers of Yeshua, Rabbi Shaul, or Paul, said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "Don't you know that your body is a temple for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who lives inside you, whom you receive from God? The fact is, you don't belong to yourselves." That's a really incredible passage if you dig into the whole meaning of there. Our bodies are temples for the Holy Spirit. So here's the question I want to pose to you. If each of your bodies, every one of you, just look down at your body there. Everybody here have a body? Nobody here is having an out-of-body experience, I hope. If your body is a temple for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, God's presence dwells in you, right? And I believe one way we can think of this is our heart, which is also our human spirit, is like the altar. It's like the altar of God, because that's where God is worshipped, in your body. So here's the question. When does the Holy Spirit enter this room, this physical room? When you do. Right. And each time another person walks in, more of the Holy Spirit comes in. I don't know if you can say there's more of the Holy Spirit, but you know what I mean? Another person bearing the Holy Spirit in their body enters in each time you enter in. So here's what I came to the conclusion in this, that to rededicate this building, we must also consecrate or set apart the congregation, each of us, for God's purposes. Remember, that's what that word consecration is. And so in order to do that, the Spirit gave me revelation on the spiritual meaning of the three things that the Maccabees cleaned out. Remember, there was the three things. First, they cleaned weeds. Now, weeds grow naturally, and they were growing in the courtyard. If you just leave a piece of land, you know, without tending to it, what will grow? Weeds will grow. So what does that represent? That represents our natural way of thinking, doing things in the way we normally do things, doing things out of our reasoning, doing things out of our own abilities, thinking in natural human ways. So we need to repent of our natural way of thinking and doing things and pray to do things God's way. Think like God's thing, thinks. Be led by His Ruach, by His Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing, the weeds. The second thing is the Maccabees cleaned out unclean stuff, garbage and trash. Well, what came to my mind is that the Bible calls evil spirits what? Unclean spirits. So I believe there have been several here assigned against us, and that the prayer team has seen a lot of them. I've seen a lot of them. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not inferring anything about people in this. But this has come against the spirits assigned by the enemy. So let me just read to you the list that the prayer team came up with, and I added some to the list, but these are the spirits that I believe have been attacking us over the last period of time. Division, contention, discouragement, deception, lying, hoarding, that means keeping things to ourselves, pride, doubt, offense, rebellion, an independent spirit, exclusion, cliques, stubbornness, self-righteousness, self-serving, control, entitlement, a Jezebel spirit, which is a control spirit, fear, and an impudent spirit. Now, when you deal with things like this, you know, some people think, well, I don't know if we should go about that one against this one. You know what? It can't hurt. You can come against all of them, and it can't hurt. If they're not really the thing, it doesn't matter. If they are, they got to go. Okay. So we're gonna clean out the unclean spirits. And those unclean spirits are hanging around here, but they can also be hanging around each of us. So we're going to pray to get rid of that. The third thing is that the Maccabees tore down this idolatrous statue of Zeus, the Greek god. And so we need to tear down any idols that have been built. And let me just define that, because it's so important to understand. An idol is anything in our lives that is more important to us than the Lord. That's an idol. So each of us could have been serving idols. Usually we serve them by deception. We think this is a good thing, and we begin to make that a very important thing in our lives, and it turns out to be more important than the Lord, and we get tricked into that. But we're going to pray for revelation about that. But there also may be idols we've been serving as a congregation. And here's the one that I believe we need to come against. You know, those of you who have been with us for a long time, you know, we have tried so many things to effectively reach the Jewish community over the years, and they often haven't worked with the level of fruitfulness that we have hoped for. And the reason is that there is so much opposition from the Jewish community to the gospel. So our strategy to reach the Jewish community needs to come from the Lord to pull down the walls in that community. And we need to pull down any idols of our agenda that we put before what God is guiding us to do. We need to follow His agenda precisely with His timing. Let me give you an example of how this might work. We may have tried something 7, 8, 9 years ago and it didn't work. And, you know, God may have led us to try it at that time and it worked maybe, you know, but not the way we thought it would work. So now somebody gets the idea, well, we should do this. And we might say, oh no, we already tried that. That doesn't work. But this is a different time. And if God is saying to do it now, then it might work now. Amen. All right, so that's how these things, even the things we've done in the past, can become idols to us. So we're going to do this cleansing prayer now together, and then we're going to do the anointing stuff. So if you would just pray with me now. Father, we thank You for the instruction of Your word. And we repent right now of natural thinking. In the name of Yeshua, we ask your forgiveness for when we let our reasoning and our natural abilities, when we let those things guide us, overrule what your Spirit is saying to do. So we repent, Father, and we pray right now for renewed minds. Just put your hand on your mind, on your head. Father, renew our minds that we might think like you think. We know that in the natural, your thoughts are not our thoughts, and your ways are not our ways, but we want to follow your ways and think your thoughts. In Yeshua's name. And then, Father, we repent of any ways in which we have entertained unclean spirits. Now, what that means, it doesn't mean you serve them tea or something. That means this, one of these spirits whispers something in your ear, like, you should be offended about that. You shouldn't put up with that. You know, that person, they're really, you need to get back at that person. When those spirits whisper in our ear, and they do, we need to stand against that rather than agree with it. That's the entertaining. Yeah, that really was. I'm really offended about that. We need to stand against that and send that spirit away. So we're going to repent of entertaining those unclean spirits that I listed right now in our minds. And this is, you know, I don't know what any of you have entertained, but you know what you've entertained. So if any of these things pop up, you just repent of it. And in fact, you can repent of them all in case you've done them and you don't even know you've done them. So we repent, Father, of entertaining spirits of division, contention, discouragement, deception, any lying spirits, any hoarding spirits, any prideful spirits, any spirits of doubt. We repent of taking offense. We repent of a rebellion. We repent of an independent spirit, of entertaining that. We repent of excluding anyone, of giving into a spirit of cliques. We repent of stiff-neckedness, stubbornness. We repent of being self-righteous. We repent of being self-serving. We repent of wanting to be in control. We repent of any spirits of entitlement. We repent of fear. We repent of any impudent spirits, and we repent of any Jezebel spirit. And we ask your forgiveness for those things by the blood of your atoning sacrifice. And right now, in the authority that is given to me and to each of you, let's say it together. We command all these spirits over individuals and over the congregation to be broken, their power to be broken. In the name of Yeshua, we command them to go into their dry places. I'll say them out here, and you just agree. Division, contention, discouragement, deception, lying, hoarding, pride, doubt, offense, rebellion, an independent spirit, an excluding spirit, a clique spirit, stubbornness, self-righteousness, self-serving, a hoarding spirit, a controlling spirit, entitled spirit, a Jezebel spirit, a fear spirit, an impudent spirit. In the name of Yeshua, we break the power of those spirits. We break the power of those spirits in Yeshua's name. And if anybody has right now a revelation of any other spirit that we missed, just shout it out right now. Timidity. We break the power of timidity in the name of Yeshua. Ahab spirit. We break the power of an Ahab spirit in the name of Yeshua. Anger, in the name of Yeshua, we break the power of spirit. Resentment, in the name of Yeshua, we break that power. Retaliation, I heard another one. Confusion, we break the power of confusion in the name of Yeshua. Bitterness, in the name of Yeshua, we break that power. Passivity, we break your power over us in the name of Yeshua. Well, infirmity, we break the power of infirmity over everybody here and their bodies. And those who are listening or watching, in the name of Yeshua. Poverty spirit. We break the power of a poverty spirit. In the name of Yeshua. Hopelessness. We break the power of hopelessness and lack. In the name of Yeshua. Self-reliance. We break the power of the spirit of self-reliance in the name of Yeshua. I heard one other there. Depression. We break the power of depression in the name of Yeshua. Laziness in the name of Yeshua. Self-hatred in the name of Yeshua. Unforgiveness. We break the power of that spirit in the name of Yeshua. Rejection. We break that power in the name of Yeshua. Abandonment. In the name of Yeshua, we break the power of that spirit. Unloving spirit. We break the power of that in the name of Yeshua. Addictions. We break the power of any addictions that are here in the name of Yeshua. I heard one other. Folly. The spirit of folly. We break the power of the spirit of folly in the name of Yeshua. Yes, we got confusion. You saw it leaving. Okay. Okay, then we repent, Lord, of building. Well, wait a minute. We pray, Father, for the gift of discerning of spirits, yes, for all of us to resist the return of any of these things. All right. Infirmity. We break the power of infirmity in the name of Yeshua. And we ask, Father, for the gift of discerning of spirits, so that we'd be able to see if they try to get back in, we'd be able to recognize them and stand against them. Any of these, in the name of Yeshua.
I got one more, Jim.
Okay.
Against any sin, death.
Okay, spirits of death, spirits of infirmity in our families, we break the power of those things in our circles.
Did we say jealousy?
Jealousy, we break the power of jealousy and envy. Hopelessness, we got that one. All right, let's... Let's move on. We're going to deal with idols now. Okay? So, Father, we repent of building, tolerating, and falling under the control and the deception of any idol and serving any idol, anything other than you, Lord God. We repent of that right now. We ask your forgiveness in the name of Yeshua. And I just pray for each of us as individuals for revelation of any idols in our lives right now, Father, even as we're here today, that you would reveal anything in our lives that has become more important than you, Lord, anything that we're serving. And this could be a job, this could be a goal, this could be a person, this could be a hobby, this could be an addiction, anything that is more important than you, Father, reveal those things in the name of Yeshua. And we ask you to forgive us all that have been revealed. Judith, do you have something? Okay, it's on.
This is a word picture. Mark, do you want to come up and give it? Mark Hinton was in prayer, and he says, I don't know why, but I'm seeing a seesaw. And I want you all, you want to, okay. This is about idols.
Okay.
This is about idols.
Well, the Lord gives me pictures, and sometimes I don't have the interpretation, but that's where the body comes in, because I didn't have the interpretation. I just said the picture, then the interpretation came from somebody else. What I kept seeing was, like the old teeter-totters, and it's like a balance. I'm going up and down, up and down. It wasn't really going anyplace. And what happened is that the one person, okay, was up higher, then the other one was lower, and back and forth, back and forth. And what happened was the person who was lower ended up getting, like, knocked off. Well, what happened to the other person was that he got catapulted up into the air. And what I'm talking about is that we can be the one who's down low, and we're down low, and we're looking at the other person who's up there, and that's the idol. We're looking at that person, and they're the idol. What we need to do is we need to push up, and as we push up and let go, then that idol's going to fall.
Amen.
And it's not only, you're hanging on to that idol. You're down here on the, and you're looking up at that thing that you've lifted up, and it's so high. But when you let go and let your legs go on a teeter-totter, that thing comes crashing down, and you get catapulted out there where you need to be.
All right. Okay, so let's tear down some idols. So, Father, we just come before you now, and we just tear down all of our idols, whether they are people or things or positions or goals or addictions or whatever they are. We tear down everything in our minds and our hearts that are more important than you, that have snuck in there. And I don't believe anybody here would intentionally do that. But they sneak in there and they become more important than you. And if it's a person, Father, we just push up and understand that we are all equal in the sight of the Lord. Nobody is higher. Nobody is lower. We're all equal in the sight of the Lord. And we can be equal on that seesaw.
Hallelujah.
And so, Father, now we would just tear down those idols, and especially the idol of our own reasoning and our own plans as a congregation. We tear down that idol. We tear down the idol even of our past experiences, of going by what we've learned in the past. And then for each individual here, Father, we pray that you would rebuild the altar in our hearts. Just put your hand over your heart. Lord, we tear down all the idols in our hearts, and we ask that you would rebuild the altar with living stones, Father, with new stones, with clean stones, that we'd be able to worship only you, that it would be an altar only for you, not for anybody else. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. So now we've done the cleansing. Now we have to do the dedication. That's only step two, all right? The war, the cleansing, the dedication. So I'm going to call Shea up because in order to do the dedication, we have to have the lamps lit, right? And she's going to recite the blessing and light the menorah. And I'll get out of the way here. And would you all just eyes, please?
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu bidvarecha, v'natan lanu et Yeshua Mashiachenu, v'tzivanu lehiyot or l'olam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by your word, given us Yeshua our Messiah, and commanded us to be light to the world. Amen.
So we've got the light here, and of course, Yeshua is the light of the world, as Ethel was talking about. And so the next thing that I would like to do is to pray as Solomon prayed. So, Father, we thank you for this sanctuary. We thank you, Lord, that this is a place where we come together to worship you and to be in your presence. Yeah, if you want to stand and pray with me, that would be good. And Father, we pray that as we all come together in this place, the combined effect of all of your people bringing your spirit into this place would make a manifestation of your presence very real here, Lord God. That we would all come filled with your spirit so that when we get together, there would be a joint or a massive overflowing. And in fact, it would be like that temple that's spoken of in the book of Revelation, where there's a river flowing out from under the temple. And it's a river of living water, and it gets deeper as it goes. So, Father, we pray that even as we come together and worship you, there would be a river flowing out of this place of your spirit. It would reach the community around us. It would reach the Jewish community in this area. It would reach the whole region. And it would bring revival, oh God. Make this sanctuary, Father, a place where we meet with you, where we experience your presence in a special, special way. That's our great desire. In Yeshua's name, amen. 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 Now, the next thing that we have to do, you can be seated, unless you happen to have some anointing oil with you. How many have anointing oil? You can stay standing. Yes. Sure. Got it? Okay, don't. Good. How many have anointing oil? Okay, because we have a lot of things to anoint. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start out. We're going to anoint all of, it said they anointed the tabernacle and all of its utensils and furnishings. All right, so now I don't think we have to anoint every chair, but we want to anoint all of the things that are here, like the Ner Tamid down there, the screen. And when you do this, you know, just a little bit. We don't want big oil stains all over things. But Jerry, I think there's some more oil back there. Are there a couple of bottles? Anybody else like to do some anointing? Hand out a couple of more bottles. All right. So spread out the anointers, and the rest of you can pray. And we're going to anoint the furnishings and the tabernacle.
Yeshua.
Not done. As we talked about, each of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So those of you who are anointing, I'd like you to now go around. We're going to anoint every person here, and you can choose where you want to be anointed. You can just put your hand out if you want. Or you can be anointed on your head. You can be anointed wherever you'd like. And if you don't want to be anointed, that's fine too. You don't have to be anointed. And if somebody comes around with an oil that has a strong aroma and it bothers you, just say, I'll take somebody else, okay? Don't want anybody to have an allergic reaction here. You better get your...
Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Yeshua, I love you. I love you.
Yeshua. You've already been anointed, just say no, because it will take forever.
Yeshua, holy and anointed one.
I can't get through the veil.
Yeshua,
risen and exalted.
Risen and exalted. Yeshua,
holy and anointed,
holy and anointed.
Nobody
one.
Knows.
Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua.
Everybody been anointed. You didn't. You didn't. All right. The anointers need to get anointed. Make sure you get anointed by somebody else if you're an anointer. Yes. What? You didn't get an itis? Oh, go ahead. Yes, great idea. Go anoint the children. Thank you, Amy. Mark, go ahead. Okay, everybody's been anointed. We got something else we have to do, so come on back to your seats, anointers. Be sure you've been anointed yourself. Now, here's the next one. Anybody remember what else had to be done? Not the offering. Have to sprinkle the blood. Everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute. How are we going to do that? Well, the Spirit of God showed me a very simple way. And Naoki's getting very nervous about there. We're going to pour blood all over. And she has to clean it up. When we come to the Lord's table, we drink the grape juice in remembrance of the blood of Yeshua, the blood that he shed for us, right? And when we drink it, it means many things. But one of the things, it's a prophetic act, I believe, where we're actually pouring the blood on ourselves, right? And if you just think about it, when you drink it, it actually goes through your whole body. So the idea of, you know, going to your ear and your thumb and your big toe, well, eventually it gets there because it goes into your whole body. So one way we can think of what this is all about, of the Lord's table, is that it's a way of consecrating ourselves to be his Kohanim and Dutmaik. So one way to think about what happens when we partake is that it's a consecration of each of us to be his Kohanim, to be the royal priesthood. Well, what about the matzah? What part does that play? I prayed about this. The matzah is in remembrance of his body, which was sacrificed. It was sacrificed on the altar of the cross to consecrate each of us. So remember, sacrifices were made in the dedication of the temple on the altar to consecrate that altar. So today, what I believe the Spirit is saying is that as we eat the matzah, we're to pray that the altars of our hearts would be sanctified, would be consecrated to worship the Lord. Okay, everybody follow all that? Now, let me just say, for especially people who are visiting us, you're welcome to participate in this. This is a covenant renewal meal. It's the covenant renewal meal of the new covenant. And you're welcome to participate if you have already entered into the new covenant and become a follower of Yeshua. If you have never entered in and you're here visiting, let me just say and invite you, you can do it. You can do it as your step into the covenant. If you want to become part of the new covenant, you can participate in this ceremony as your first step into that. So we invite you to do that. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come now and distribute the grape juice and the matzah. And while they're doing that, there's going to be some music playing. But I'd like all of you, as you're waiting to get your grape juice and your matzah, to pray if there's anything you need to repent of before you partake of this, or if there's anybody that you need to reconcile with. And if that person is here, I want to encourage you to just go to them and try to be reconciled. If they're not here, you don't have to not partake, because you can purpose in your heart to do that as soon as you can, and then go ahead and participate in this. So go ahead, and Randy's going to play. Okay, we're going to do the matzah first. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Father, we thank you for Yeshua's sacrifice of his body. We look at this and we say, this represents his body, causes us to remember his body. It's pierced, it's striped, it's bruised, and it's broken. And we ask now that you would consecrate the altars in our hearts for your presence to live there, Lord God, for us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to worship no one else or no thing else. We also know that this has healing power. So we pray that as we take this, it would bring healing to our bodies. We thank you, Father. This is the body of Messiah, broken for you, for your healing, for the rededication of the altar of worship in your heart. Take and eat.
Is this on? Oh, now it's on. Okay. And now we're going to do the wine.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei peri hagafen, amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the blood of Messiah, the blood that seals the new covenant, the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. We ask that you'd consecrate or reconsecrate us as Kohanim, as priests in your kingdom, royal priesthood, Father, as you call us in your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we drink this, it travels through our body, and it goes to our ears, so we pray that we'd be able to hear you better. Yes. It goes to our thumbs. We pray that we'd be able to do your will. And it goes to our feet, to our big toes, and we pray we'd be able to go where you send us, Father. Yes. And we also pray, Father, that the first thing it passes over is our tongues. And we pray, Father, that you would just take this and supernaturally adjust our tongues, yes, that they would not be unruly, that our tongues would be submitted to you, O God. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. This is the blood of the Messiah, the seal of the new covenant. And this is the blood of the Messiah for the consecration of Yeshua's royal priesthood, and to consecrate each of us, each of you, to be one of his Kohanim, one of his priests. Take and drink. Let's just be in the Lord's presence for a moment. This is a very special moment, I believe. Father, may your glory, may your cloud and your glory fill this place, Lord God, as we are here and as we worship you. And we are just so thankful, Father, that you have opened each of our eyes to the truth of your word, and that you've brought us into your kingdom. We look forward to what you're going to do with this place, O Lord, and the ways in which you're going to manifest yourself, and the ways in which people are going to be touched and healed and delivered in this place. May it be a place of freedom, Father. Even as we sang that Rock of Ages song today, Lord, that all men would be free, all women would be free, that this would be a place of freedom from the bondages of the evil one. And may it be a place of light, Father, but also a place of love. May this be a place where your love overflows. Not only, Lord, that we would experience your love, but we'd experience one another's love.
We don't come here.
Mm-hmm. May they be brought in, Lord God. Yes, may it be a place that we go out from, Lord. Yes, we agree, Father. May this be a place of reaching out. May it be like that river that flows out of this place, Father. Reaching out to those who don't know you especially, and to those who do know you who are hurting, Father. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. One new man, Father. Yes. May we be one new man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.